Today's daf is daf lamed, and we're holding by the two dots about one-fifth of the way down on Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah said yesterday, together with the Hesber of the Braita, that the mitzvah, one of the mitzvahs that the Av is mechuyev to do for his son, is that he has to teach his son Torah. Ad heichan chayav adam lelamed et bno Torah, what is the shir of limud? Omrev yinom reshmul, well, it's like Zvulun ben Dan. Zvulun ben Dan, who was a famous Talmud among the Amoraim and in that particular Beit HaMidrash, where they were learning. Well, over there, Zvulun ben Dan, his grandfather, had taught him Shalimdo Avi Aviv Mikro Mishnah V'Talmud Halachos V'Agodas. He stuffed him full with everything. So he had learned with him Teresh B'Ktav, learned with him Teresh B'Alfeh, learned with him Gemara, and also Halacha L'Maisa and Midrashim. Hestik Bar Meisva Limdo Mikra Ein Melamdo Mishnah. That if he learned him the Tanakh, so he's not mechuyev to go further than that. Why does it say over here Kizvulun Ben Dan? And Rav explains that when it says Mikra, it means this is Torah. And in other words, it doesn't even mean Nach. It just means Torah, not Nevi'im Mitzvim. You said Mikra and Mishnah. I don't get it. No, says the Gemara, you misunderstood. When we said Ad Heichan, and we brought a raya from Zvulun Ben Dan, we didn't mean Ad Heichan how much, we mean how many generations is a person mechuyev to teach. So over here we see Zvulun Ben Dan was taught by his grandfathers. In other words, it wasn't only a chiyuv on his father. That's the point. But we're not saying it has to be. I mean, he was very machmir. He wanted to make sure his grandson knew everything. But so it's Kizvulun Ben Dan in terms of the generations. But we don't mean Kizvulun Ben Dan in terms of how much he learned. The lo Kizvulun Ben Dan. Kizvulun Ben Dan, that indeed limdo avi aviv, so it was a grandfather. The lo Kizvulun Ben Dan, because he lo hatam, there, he went overboard. It was great. Nikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Halacha, Sagrados, Mashenkin, Halacha, Lamaisa. What we're saying is, Ilohacha, Mikra, Levat. So you're only Mechuyev to teach Torah. Says the Gemara, but that, is that really true? That a grandfather is Mechuyev to teach his grandchildren? Vavi Aviv, Mimechayev? Aiva Tanya, does it not say Beferish here in the Braita? Velimatem otamet b'nechem. B'nechem means your children, velo b'nei b'nechem. So there's not a chiyuv on grandchildren. Aye, doesn't it say in the pasuk, "Umani mekayim"? How am I supposed to understand then? V'hodatam levanecha v'livnei vanecha. There it does say beferush you have to teach your grandchildren. No, that's something else. That's lomar lecha. Shekol ha'melamed et bnei Torah ma'aleh alav ha'katuv kilu limdo lo ulevno leven v'no ad sof kol ha'dorot. What it's saying over there is that if you are modia, you teach your child. So then that would be the equivalent of the Yodat and Levanecha, Levnei Vanecha. It's as if you were standing on our Sinai Atzof Kaladeres. Because after all, if the chain, Chas V'Shalom, were broken, so then the whole idea would disappear. In other words, Maiben Har Sinai is Atzof Kaladeres. So since you did what you did in maintaining that chain, you become now as if you yourself had been the one who taught all of the generations after you. That's the point. But it doesn't mean you literally are mechuyev to teach that generation. You teach the generation that you're mechuyev to teach, which is your own child. The memela, out of that comes the kiyum of atzof kol hadorot. So how do you explain the fact that Shmuel says the halach is kizvulun ben dan, and here it says beferish in the braita, not like kizvulun ben dan, meaning that there's not a chiyev for a grandfather to teach? Says the Gemara, it's actually a machloket tanaim. And Shmuel was paskening, and indeed we pasken this way, like Shmuel. Who the omar ki haitana? The Tanya, v'limatem otam et b'neichem. You might think that b'neichem means dafka, literally first generation. Ein li'ela b'neichem, b'nei b'neichem inayin. How do we know that you're mechuyev to teach the second generation? Talmud lomar v'hoda'atam levanecha olivnei vanecha. Why then imkein matam alomar b'neichem? So why does it talk about your sons? It means b'neichem v'lo b'notechem. It's coming to teach me that it's your sons as opposed to your daughters, but not your sons as opposed to your grandsons. Omrav Yeshua ben Levi, kol ha'melameh et ben b'no Torah. If l'maisa person goes ahead and teaches, actually it's two different yersaot over here. Some don't have the ben b'no, just kol ha'melameh et b'no Torah. And we'll be going stam according to everyone, not to the chiyum. Okay, but the way that we bring it invariably, la halacha, is that ma la halacha katuv kilo kibla mi har Sinai. Then it says, if, here's also, there's different pshatim, The Pashtus is the meaning is that you yourself, in being Malamed ben Benot Torah, puts you onto Har Sinai. Because you are then talking just as Har Sinai spoke. There's a vision of all the generations standing on Har Sinai. That's Sof Kol HaDorot. So since you're being Isaac, not in your local reality, your son, but you have this vision of all the generations that are coming afterwards, so then it's as if you are standing on Har Sinai and that's how you heard the Torah. It's beautiful.
You're standing in the
dirt. Right, because you're not... People usually, they learn things locally. What's the idea to me? You know, you're very involved in yourself, right? But the moment that you're standing on Har Sinai, you can't be involved in yourself. You have this sense of the power of Torah defining the whole nature of reality. I mean, you see all of the Nishmais of all of Yisrael, all of the Gerim, Shatidim, Litgayer, everybody's standing. And there's a sense of being in that presence. So you're always learning Torah with an immense sense of history and presence across creation. So if you're just involved in your little world, you know, so you're holding your son on your lap, okay, that's part of, you know, your regular life. And usually a grandparent, you know, let the kids take care of the grandchildren. You know, it's fun to play a little bit, but, you know, I'm certainly not going to take responsibility. Somebody who takes a grandchild and is mechanech the grandchild, he has that awareness of standing on Har Sinai. He extends beyond his own little life. A tremendous, absolutely tremendous difference, unbelievable difference. So that's our most learned, that's the Pashtus. The Maisa, there's some who bring the other shot as well. And I think that both are true. I really do, experientially. That it's as the grandchild senses the Amida before Har Sinai. Because again, to a father, you relate in a very local way. You know, like you expect your father is going to take care of, do whatever he sees is right with you. But when you're getting a message, it's like Baba, you know. You get a message from a previous generation, all of a sudden looks like you've jumped out of your time into history. So Yom Asher Amarta L'Fnei Hashem L'Kecha B'Chorev. Reb Chiya Bar Ava, Ashkechel Reb Yeshua Ben Levi. Reb Chiya Bar Ava once meets Reb Yeshua Ben Levi looking like a maniac. The Shari Disna Reshe, he had put the sheet of his bed over his head, didn't have time to put on his yarmulke or his hat, and he's rushing through the streets, V'kamamti L'Eil Yenukal V'Eknish, he's dragging the little kid to Cheder. Amarle, what's going on with you? My kuliyai, you look like a nut. You couldn't wait to put on your hat, get dressed properly. Amarle, what are you kidding? Mizuter my dechsiva datem uvanecha v'samech le'yom asher amarta v'fnei Hashem Elokecha b'chorev. Well, I'm going to take time to put on my hat when I have a chance to be aimed on Har Sinai. That's a little thing. That's crazy. Because I threw a sheet on and I ran out. Mikan ve'elech, Reb Chiya Bar Abba, from that time on, Reb Chiya Bar Abba learned the lesson. And he wouldn't taste anything, lotoim umtza, even the umtza, of course, even the umtza in our terms is pretty major, because the umtza was like the way they eat the meat in the morning here in South Africa, you know, the Africana. So everybody had a minute to eat a little chop in the morning. You have to get going, you know, proper breakfast. And he wouldn't even eat his morning piece of chop. Until he had taught something, he had gone over now with his child what it is that he had learned before, and he added something, because it's very, very interesting. If you take a look, there's two chiyuvim over here. One is the vilimadten. Vilimadten is to learn. We'll see it in the Rambam that it's two totally different chiyuvim. One is vilimadten, so there's a mitzvah to learn with them. But one is vahodaten, to let them know something. So if you just review, you're not telling them anything new. So there's no vodata. So he did both. He was vilibatem, to go over what they had learned. And then he went and learned something new, to be mekayim vodata. So he was medayik, to be mekayim the full range of the mitzvahs. Rabba bar Avuna, lotei munza, demaita liyanuka lebeit midrasha. Rabba bar Avuna wouldn't taste anything until he brought his child to the Beit Midrash, to the Malamid. Omrif Safra Mishum Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. What's the meaning of the Lashon Vishinantam Levanach? It's a very strange language, Vishinantam. It should say, if it means to teach your children or to go over things with your children, Vishinitem. What's this Shinan? Shinan is an odd word. Therefore, Al Tikri Vishinantem Ela Vishilashtem. In other words, since there's a number of different ways of understanding this, some have a chat. that Vishinatam is like this. If you would have said Vishinitem, it would have been to go over again. Chazara, Mishnah. If you say Vishinatam, then it means to go over yet again. So that means you've got two times going over. One time you've learned it is Vishilashtem, so you've learned it three times. But it can't possibly mean that you only have to learn something three times, because maybe you're not going to remember just what some people need 100 times, or Shach say three times. Therefore, it must become Ketomi something about Shilush particularly. Others learn that it's Tam El Hosofa. In other words, forget about the meaning of review. But the fact is that the Vishinitem would have meant that you reviewed it, to go over it. Like Shana, right? Once again, it's an iteration. If you throw in a Nun, so you mean an additional iteration. So it means not two times, three times. So what does three times have to do with anything? To teach you that the third, the issue of threes, is central to your learning. Namely, that la'olam yishalesh adam shnotav. A person should split his life into three parts. Shlish b'mikra, one-third, is to be invested in perashat b'chtav. Shlish b'mishnah, one-third, is to be invested in the Seder HaMishnah, which are basically the halachas as they come out without all of the hesber and so on. And Shlish B'Talmud, one-third, is to be invested in understanding, asking questions, being meisif depth, and so on and so forth.
But the bottom line again is
two. We'll see. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? How can you split your life into three if you don't know how long your life is? Well, then it's ridiculous. Maybe the guy's only going to live 40 years, and he's figuring he's going to live 60 years. And now he's splitting it up. By the time he gets to 40, he's dead. Now he doesn't have a time to go and do the Gemara, so he'll never learn Gemara. Therefore, we need to understand. It doesn't mean to make his life into thirds by years. It means to split up his time. So he takes the... Rashi learns this means he takes the weeks of the day. Forgetting about Shabbos. So he's got one-third, one-third, one-third. 2 days for Mikra, 2 days for Mishnah, 2 days for Gemara. Tosfos argues bitterly, and Lamaisa, we don't pass like Rashi. I mean, you can say the same thing. How do you know you're going to survive the week?
Yeah.
So what right do you have to invest 2 days into Mikra? So therefore, what it means is that every day you should split up your time. So a day you're supposed to lead as if you have the entire day. That there's a lot of rises to, right? That's the, like it says, do teshuva the day before you die. So in other words, today is not the day I'll die. That's the point. You have to lead your life as if you have today is a Dover Shalom. So if that's the case, you should split up your day. So if you split up your day, so then you'll end up. Again, the Rambam brings his famous marshal, you know, I mean, okay, maybe a guy needs 8 hours of sleep, and then you got to work maybe 3 hours a day. Then you got the rest of the day. Okay. The good old days.
What good old days?
The ones where you needed to work 3 hours a day.
What do you mean with that? What do you mean with that?
No. All right. But Lamaisa, again, Halakha Lamaisa, this doesn't make sense either. We don't pass it in like this. Because it makes no sense to give an equal amount of time to Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. Right? So as the Rambam says, all of this is true only when you're first learning how to learn. So you haven't finished Mikra, you haven't finished Mikra, you haven't Mishnah, you haven't finished Gemara. So then you're mechuyav to split it evenly. But gradually, as you know, you've learned Mikra. So now you only need to put in enough time so that your review allows you not to forget. So instead of putting in 3 hours a day into Mikra, you could put in maybe a half an hour a day or maybe a quarter of an hour a day. Because that's sufficient to constantly review it. In terms of Gemara, the Gemara is endless. So in other words, what you need to do is review your Mishnayos sufficiently not to forget. Gemara, again, means everything that you understand out of what you've learned. So that would include, as the Rambam says, that includes science, that includes Kabbalah, that includes, in other words, all of the, you know, all of the things that are an analysis of the data. Now, what do I understand out of this data? Right? That's both Dover and Mitok Dover, to be able to utilize what it is that you're learning. I mean, that could take up 99% of your time. The review of the data could take a very, very small amount of time. It depends on the person, how good his memory is, and so on. But obviously, in the end, almost all of your learning time will be taken up by understanding and not by just reviewing, assuming you have a decent memory. Yeah, basically, this is the famous Tosfos, which has caused such horrible, horrible impact on B'nai Torah. This is the Rabbeinu Tam. Tosfos brings that it's because of this that we have in Shacharit, before the davening, so we have that, we go through the psukim, We go through the Mishnayos, the Korbanos, then we go through the Brisa and the Inyan of Rabbi Shmuel, and then Mishmei the Gemara, right? And then we go daven. So that way you know that you've read Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara, right? So Tosfos says what we do is we rely on learning the Masechta. Because what does Talmud Bavli mean? So Gemara says that Bavli, why do we call it Bavli? Not Hashem Bavel, but for the reason that Bavel was called Bavel. Because of the marble. So Shom Nivlalu. Right? So that means that Bavel is a place where everything is mushed up together. Talmud Bavli is the biggest mishmash you'll ever see. Right? So it's mishmash of Psukim, and of Mishnayos, and of Gemara. So if you learn that, you learn everything. So therefore, people use the Rabbeinu Tam to say, what are we going to learn Mikra for? We learned Talmud Bavli. What he's talking about is after you've learned Mikra and Mishnah, then if you learn Talmud Bavli, so you're constantly involved in Mikra and Mishnah. Rebitzika Volozhina has a whole safer fighting people's misunderstandings of Rabbeinu Tam. It's fire. But obviously, what the Rabbeinu Tam thought, you don't have to ever look inside of a Chumash. You only have to learn the Gemara. It's amazing that people could say such a thing.
My Gemara himself said learn Mikra and Mike, Mishneh Torah, and you don't have to learn that and sing this.
No, it's not what he says. You're leaving out a very important word. He says you don't have to learn anything else Beinei, between that. But then obviously you spend the rest of your time understanding.
So what does he mean?
He means exactly what he says. You don't need any additional material in terms of Mikra and Mishnah because you know Kol HaTorah Kulos. You know Mishnah, you know Halachos. Now you could spend the rest of your time doing Gemara, which is understanding what I'm writing. So all he's saying is that the Mishnah of Rebbe's time is limited because he didn't have all the parts of what came out of the Gemaras to include in the Mishnah, all of the Gainim, and so on and so forth. So I'm putting all of that together. That way you don't have to do anything after learning Teresh B'Ktav. You learn my book. And then you've learned everything that you need to know for Shemar 10. Okay, now start learning. Obviously, that's all he means. He says, that's why I call this, that's how he begins. Al-Kain Karati La-Sefer Zeh Mishneh Torah. That's what he's saying. This is the Mishnah on the Torah. Okay. All right, so this has been a very misused halacha. We have to be very careful about it. Lefichach, and it's because of that type of involvement in learning, that's why Nikru Rishonim Sofrim, we find that the people that used to learn were called Sofrim. They were called Sofrim, as Rashi says, because we see that they were called Mishpachot Sofrim Yoshvei Ya'avetz, those who would sit in the learning with Osniel Ben Knas, the reference to Yisro's grandchildren. So they were called Sofrim. Murtosis points out, we call them Sofrim, not because of their Asik and the Sefer, but rather in terms of numbers. Why numbers? Because you'll find that they utilize numbers for categorizations. So what Chazal did was they created sets. Arba avot nezikim. Right? The Shloshim v'teisha melachos of Shabbos. And so they created sets of things which were numbered to allow you then to work out each set as a unique entity. And therefore, they're called Sofrim of Torah. So why do we call them Sofrim in the sense of counting, though? That's how you Sofrim kol otiyot shebaTorah. They literally counted the letters. That's how chovid it was for them to understand the structure of Torah. Shoyu omrim, like we have a Kabbalah, that the vav of the letter of Gachon, in Vayikra, kol olecha Gachon, is exactly the chetzion shel otiyot shebaTorah, it's exactly half of the otiyot. Dorosh, dorash, with the story of Moshe and Aaron, with the story of Rosh Chodesh, that it was burnt, Moshe gets all upset. So it says Dorosh Dorash. What happened? So that Dorosh Dorash is the midpoint of the words in the Torah. Cheshes Tevot. V'itgalach va'anega lo yitgaleach. That vidgalach is exactly the pasuk which is halfway through the Torah. That's Shalap Sukim. Yechar semena chazir mi ya'ar. The ayin in the word ya'ar is the midpoint of Sefer Tehillim in letters. V'urachom yechaper avon is the midpoint in terms of Pesukim in Sefer Tehillim. Boy, Rabbi Yosef, the vav of the gachon that you say is the midpoint, is that on the first part of the first part or part of the second part? We'll see that he knew the number of letters is even numbers. We'll see later on. So it couldn't be the middle part. So it would have to be part of either the first half or the second half. Omalei. So Rabbi said to him, Nasi Sefer Torah v'imnina. What's the problem? Bring out the Sefer Torah, we'll count. Was that a theory? Milo Omar Rabba Barbachana lo Zozu Misham Ache Viu Sefer Torah Manu. Wasn't there a Maisu where they had such a question? And Rabba Barbachana said that they brought out the Sefer Torah and they counted. Omar, notice, by the way, the language is Nete Sefer Torah v'imnina. I will count. Not v'nim ninu. There's a very good reason for that, which is Rabbi Yosef was blonde, right? So Rabbi Yosef could ask the question. So I thought, okay, I'll count it for you, and we'll work it out. So Rabbi Yosef said to him, you know, you can't, because Amarlo inu biki bechaseros v'yaterot. They were able to count the letters because they knew the correct writing of the Sefer Torah, where you put in a vav, where you don't put in a vav, where you have a yud, and so on. So there's ktav chaser and ktav yeter. But anan lo bekiina, we can't rely on our sefer Torah to be bekiim in chaserot v'yeterot. We have a lot of arguments. Some have a sefer Torah with this number of letters, some have a sefer Torah without the other number. So how can we count? Why Rav Yosef? How about the word v'hitgalach? You said that's the midpoint of words. Is that mihai gisa or mihai gisa? Amalei Abaye says Abaye. Well, I mean, we can certainly count the psukim. So what's the problem? We're not missing any psukim, are we? So let's bring out the sefer Torah and I'll count the psukim. So psukim mi alaitu? No, he said them psukim ami lo bekiim. We're also not bekiim in the number of psukim, because I mean, remember, you don't exactly have periods at the end of the line, at the end of the sentence in the Torah, and we know that there's a particular pasuk mamish that we know about as a machlokas, because kiyata revacha barada amar. When revacha barada came from learning in Eretz Yisrael, he said that b'ma'arava, paskilei la'ev kro, letlata psukim. I was shocked. They read the following pasuk as three separate psukim, and in the laning, they have a sof pasuk, three sof pasuk, not one. And that, what is that pasuk? Vayomer Hashem HaMoshe, hinei anochi boi elecha ba'ava anan. So that's pasuk number one for them. Then they have the second pasuk, ba'avur yishma'am b'dabri imach, v'gam b'chayam min lo olam, second pasuk. Then they have a third pasuk, Vayaged Moshe Divrei Armel Hashem. We have this all as a single pasuk. So how are we going to count the psukim? Who knows how many psukim there are like that? So we're not b'kiyim in the psukim either. It's very interesting. Why? It makes a lot of sense what they do b'marava. Because b'marava, what they're saying is there's no relationship between that opening and the second line. It's a contradiction. And avanan makes things invisible, not visible. The thickness of a cloud. In order that avanan is bavur yishma'am, what does the avanan have to do with the yishma'am? So Mamela, I understand, but then the avanan is not only irrelevant, it's almost a contradiction. Just saying the avanan, but the avanan is not nagea. Therefore, there's this new inyan. You should know I'm coming to you b'avanan, period. Why am I coming to you? I'm coming to you bavur yishma'am. Since Bekol HaTorah Kula, there is never a place where we find Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking in the same pasuk. So the next pasuk, Vayaged Moshe, doesn't belong as part of the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayom HaShem HaMoshe was Vayaged Moshe. Therefore, that must be yet a third pasuk. Makes a lot of sense how they do it. Tanu Rabbanu, 5,888 psukim av psukei Sefer Torah. Actually, there's 5,888 psukim. In Tehillim, Yeter Alav Tehillim Shemoneh, there's 8 additional psukim. And Chaser Mimeno Divrei Hayomim Shemoneh. In Divrei Hayomim, there's 8 psukim less. Now, this is wildly wrong. Tosfos points out, not only is it wildly wrong, it's even theoretically mad. Because you would, if you split up Sefer Tehillim even into psukim of only 3 words long, it still wouldn't be equal to the number of psukim in the Torah. Reuven Margolius is like a whole sefer on this Gemara, analyzing what is it referring to, what psukim is. A brilliant, brilliant sefer. Tana Rabbanan. Vishinantem. Actually, there's another girsa, by the way. The Gemara has a girsa that Sefer Divrei Hayomim together with Daniel, which is also completely wrong. It doesn't really help very much because Daniel is pretty short.
Why does that
We saw already before the Rabbeinu Tam brought that Tehillim is Kenegah the Chamisha Kum Shetera, and that there's 5 separate books, each one of which ends with Amen. If you take a look in your Tehillim, many of the Tehillim are Sefer Risha and Sefer Shea. Son of Rabban, Vishinantem, the word Vishinatem, you made a drush over your Vishinatem in terms of Vishilashtem. But the truth is that Vishinatem has also double meaning. Because it comes not only from Shoneh, to go over again, but the additional Nun turns it into Shinun. Shinun is the word for a tooth, which means sharp. That's the interrelationship between. So if you sharpen a knife, you're being mishanein a knife. Which means that v'shinantem means shiyu divrei Torah mechudadim b'picha. You need to have divrei Torah sharp in your mouth, ready to shoot. Which means she'im yishalach adam davar al tekam game v'tomar lo. Somebody asks you a question. There's shita. It's actually bachloikas. That's not the way you're supposed to have the Torah. Ella emorlo miyat. So this is two different things. As Rashi points out. First of all, you have to review them constantly. Secondly, you have to learn their implications. You've got to get your mind around it. Not just it's a thing that you repeat, because the situation that the person is going to ask you will require a deeper understanding in order for you to be able to apply it. So that means Vishinantam includes a sharpened mind, and it also means that I understand this very precisely. I mean, if I have it in my hand, that means I also have the data. So it's the data and the interrelationship of that data to my understanding. Shenema, where do we see this? That the Torah is meant to be that level of clarity to you, because it says, Emor lechochma achotiat. You tell Chochma, you are my sister. Omoda labina tikra, and a good friend is what you call understanding. So sometimes you're very comfortable with it. It's like, you know, it's what I grew up with. I don't have to think about it a lot. There's another remez also that is often brought by Rashi, which is that in the same way that if somebody asks you, you're allowed to marry your sister, you don't have to think about it. That's pretty clear to you. So achoti adachavi is clear to you that achotcha is asur. But of course the pashut of meaning is saying something even more powerful. Because a sister is like where you really feel comfortable. A brother, there's competition. A sister is just, you know, it's such a sweet relationship. So, Mamela, you should tell Chochma that's the way that you relate to it. The Omer, furthermore, it says, Kashrim malets ba'otecha. They should be tied around your fingers. It's what we say in English, it's on my fingertips. So it's all the Divrei Torah are on your fingertips. That's in terms of the knowledge, the data. And then kotvei maluach libecha, they should be written on the edges of your heart, meaning that your insight into them, your ability to handle the details and their implications, that's something that's a function of lev, in which I relate to them, right? So there, they have to be very, very clear on your heart as well. The Omer, furthermore, it says, kichitzim beyad gibor, kein b'nei ha-ne'urim, so that the children that you have, meaning your talmidim, they are supposed to be as sharp as arrows. Kechitzim. So the same way that a gibor has arrows, so too does a rav have talmidim. And those arrows, by definition, are sharp. That's why we refer to arrows. Vomer, chitzei gibor shinunim. Look at that. Vishinantam. Ha ha! Brilliant, right? So the chitzim that a rav has have to be very sharp arrows. Vomer, and we find also that the posik says, chitzecha shinunim. There, that parsha, that perek in Tehillim, is a perek that is an ode to Talmidei Chachamim, right? Like a poem of how great Talmidei Chachamim are, right? It talks about the beauty of Talmidei Chachamim and the power of them and how they ride on Dvar. It's just one of the most beautiful, beautiful perekim in Tehillim, right? Tzlach rechav al Dvar emet, you know, jump up on your horse, on your steed of truth, and fly through the skies. It's fantastic. Yafyafitam ibnei Adam, the most beautiful of people. Fantastic book. So in there it says, and your arrows are sharp. So what are your arrows are sharp over there? Amim tachtecha yiplu b'lev oyvei hamelech. Whole nations will fall. And those that are the enemies of the kings, these are the people that have the wrong understanding of Torah. And your arrows are meant to go kill those guys. Those are arrows, intellectual arrows, talmidim, that are sharp and powerful. This is a fantastic, fantastic tehillah. So you see over there that we refer to chitzim, which in context of that pasuk are referring to your talmidim, that they go and they carry on the battle. Ashrei ha-gever asher mileh ashpato mehem. Happy is the man who fills up his quiver with those kind of arrows. Lo yevoshu ki yedabru et oivim b'shar. They won't have to be embarrassed when they speak with the enemies in the Beit Midrash. The shar is always a reference to the shar of Torah. So when they walk in, they'll be able to slaughter their enemies. Who's their enemies? My et oivim b'shar. Says Reb Chiya Bar Abba, what do you mean, who's their enemies? Everybody's your enemies when it comes to Torah. Even if it's a father and his son, or Rav and his Talmud. When they walk in to be Yosef Keterah Bishar Echad, they become enemies. Because everybody's got a different view on the thing. You can't persuade the guy that he's out of his cotton picking mind. And you start screaming and you become enemies. So Nasim Oivim says that. But the power of being an enemy in the search for truth is that it creates an immense well of love. And therefore, Einam Zazim Mishama Shinasim Oavim says that. They don't leave that place until they fall in love with each other. Shnema et vahev b'sufa, which is ahava b'sufa. There's love in the end. So that's the story of Milchamos Hashem. Right? That's the poem, the shira, on the be'er. Et vahev b'sufa. Et vahev b'sufa means altigrade b'sufa, which is like the storm or the name of a place. Ela b'sufa. The end of the battle of Milchamos Hashem is love. Obviously, only if it's Hashem Shemayim. Ton Rabban, Visam Tam. So what's this Visam Tam? What does that mean? Visam Tem es Devarai Ele. Is Sam Tam. Sam Tam. It means like the perfect, how do you say Sam?
Elixir.
Medication. So Nimshul Terek is Sam Chayim. This is like an elixir of life. Mashallah Adam. This is brilliant. This is absolutely, this Gemara is just astounding. Mashallah Adam Shikat Beno Makah Gedola. A guy beats up his kid and he's half kills him. So now he's got this wound. V'niach lo ritiyal makatos. So he bandages him up. He's got antibiotics on his wound. So he tells his son, Amar lo b'ni, kol zman shir tiyazu al makatcha, as long as you wear this medication and you got your bandaged up, you don't have to worry about a thing. Eat whatever you want. Drink whatever you want. You can take any kind of shower, jacuzzi, rechotz, ben bechamin, ben betzonei, go swimming, water skiing, whatever you like. And you've got nothing to worry about. You're not going to get infected. But I warn you, you take off this bandage, you're dead. You're going to start getting gangrene. Same thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yisrael, Bonai, I really beat you up terribly because barati yetzer hara. So you got a yetzer hara, which means you can't touch life. The moment you touch life, it's going to overwhelm you. It's going to murder you. You're going to get ruined. You're going to get gangrene. But I gave you a ritiya, barati lo torah tavlin. Now you've got a ritiya. That ritiya makes the yetzer hara tasty. It's tavlin. It's like spice. As long as you've got torah, you can do whatever you want. Live life. Got the world. You've got nothing to worry about. It's not going to kill you. Amazing, huh? I mean, the Lashon Torah Tavlin, that it makes the Yetzirah, makes the Yetzirah spicy. It's not like this. It's just raw. And we use even in English that word. Raw just means... We call sex bland in Hebrew. Raw sex, lust, is called tafel. Tafel means bland. In English, they call it spicy because they're totally wrecked. Is that amazing? So to us, the spices, the Torah, that makes it edible. It's astounding. The same words. A mamish unbelievable. Right? So here, you want to spice life up and enjoy it, you gotta have the Torah. It's like this amazing mice. I said it over again, this amazing story. Okay, something happened. This is unbelievable, Gemara. You're sitting with your head on your thing? Yad le'ufta. Yad le'ufta is echad b'shishim of Shena. A kiss isn't enough. I'm worried about you. I can't teach this. Something terrible. Shouldn't have taken that call.
No, it wasn't the call. It was only upset me before.
Okay. Took it all out of me. I took it all out of me. No? Okay. All right. No, I can't even remember what I was saying. Okay, so now you've got Tavlin. You can go and you can live. See, ima temos kim betorah, ena tim nimsorim beyadon.
There's a story, you know, I saw a story.
I forgot the story already. I looked at your face, and I'm sure I forgot the story. I know the story. I just don't have cheshek anymore. There was this guy, right after the war, now it was like 4 or 5 years after the war, so he was learning in the east side of New York, and he had had a chavrusa before the war. I thought, you know the story. You must have heard it already. He had a chavrusa before the war, like it was a big time to talk to him, then he lost track of him, and he heard that he had like really gone off the bed. After seeing the Nazis and this, he like lost all of his amuna, and they had learned together in Novartek, right? Didn't hear anything about this. He gets a message that this guy, his chavrusa, is in such and such a hospital in New York, and he's dying, and he asked to see him. Okay, so he goes, he sees the guy, turns out the guy's dying of syphilis, which was untreated, you know, during the war. I mean, they just discovered, really, kind of soon. So the guy tells him, he asks him, like, what happened to you during the war? He tells him, you know, he, like, totally went off the barrel. He says, let me tell you something. Any dover usher that you could think of, I've done. So this guy says to him, and all those years that we learned in Novartek and all the Musser and everything, it didn't mean anything. So he says, what do you mean didn't mean anything? I didn't enjoy 1 minute of it. So once he left the Torah, like, there's nothing to it. Yeah. Okay. The guy said. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. You lose everything, you know. Money. Don't go to hell twice. Once is enough. Yeah, okay. V'imatem oskim b'Torah, etem nimsarim b'yado. Where do we see? That Shneemar, because we see in the description, HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually describes the Yetzer Hara to Kayin. And he tells him, Halo im tetiv se'et. If you're going to be tov, which is the Torah lekach tov natati lech, and then se'et, then you're going to get on top of the situation. You're going to be able to hold off the Yetzer Hara. But imein atem oskim b'Torah. If not, you're lost. But then Sarim Biado, it's like he's going to be the boss. Shinema lepeta chatat rovets. At the door where you leave it, it's waiting for you, crouching. It's not a part of the issue. People think, okay, you know what? You know, you go through life. There's things you like. There's other things you don't like. It's not like a major. No, you're wrong. The Yetzer Hara is in love with you. The only thing he thinks about is having you. It's as if it's a passionate love affair. You'll notice that this is word for word what the woman is told about Adam. Right? Ve'elav teshukateh. The whole desire is going to be for him. Right? So here too, ve'elecha teshukato. That means it's all the Yetzer is thinking about. Ve'ima tarotze ata moshel bo. Same words to Adam and Chav as well. Shinemar v'ata timshol bo. If you want, you can rule. But if you let go and you think that this is a little game, the one side of the game is passionate. And if you don't have the passion to counter it, you're going to be taken over. Tana Rabbanan Kasha Yetzer Hara. Shafilo Yotzro Kor Ora. Even the Yotzer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning, who made the Yetzer Hara, still sees it as essentially evil. Shedemar Ki Yetzer Lev Adam Ra Min Urab. And doesn't have a prejudice at the fact, I created it, it can't be totally evil. It calls it Ra. Omer of Yitzchak, it's more than just, it's not just a simple, constant drain. It's that Yitzchak shel Adam mitchadesh alav b'chol yom. There's always something new. Shenema rak rak kol hayom. So that a person thinks he's conquered a particular desire, and all of a sudden today, there's a new twist. That new twist forces him to go through the whole thing again. It's an amazing thing. So like, just to present things in a new light, and already you have to go like you've never dealt with this issue before. And that's b'chol yom. More than that, says the Gemara, that Omer b'Shimon ben Levi, Yitzro shel Adam mitgaber alav b'chol yom v'akesh hamito. It's not just that he wants control. He wants absolute control. It's the ultimate love that ends in murder. Right? He wants to eat you. Shinemar tzofer ha-shalat tzadiku b'vakesh la-hamito. And the truth is that it isn't really in your hands to conquer the Yetzer Hara. It's stronger than you are. Because, I mean, you're a product of Yetzer Hara. Like, the little bit of your mind that's in control is so tiny compared to the forces that are working upon you biologically that you're lost. And therefore, Ilmalea Kadosh Baruch Hu Azorana Yochalo. What you can do is do what you can, but you need God to stand there at your side. Shinemar Elohim lo yazvenu b'yado. It's the Lord who doesn't allow you to be taken over. It's not your raw power. Tana Devei Rabbi Shmo, B'ni, im pagah b'cha menuvel zeh. Let me tell you something. If this filthy slob has got hold of you, Moshkei le-Beit HaMidrash, walk in with him into the Beit HaMidrash. You say, I could have walked to the Beit HaMidrash. All I've got on my mind is fantasies. I'm going to sit there, I'm going to learn Gemara. No, that's the whole point. Come in with your insanities, sit down in front of the Gemara, and you know what's going to happen? Im Evenu, if he's so strong, it's like a stone, he's going to just melt. Im Barzelo mitpotzeitz, flames are just going to start shooting out of it. Shinemar alo ko dvarai ke'esh nu'um Hashem. Uchifati shifotzeitz sela. So what does that mean? It's a little bit of a problem in the Girsa, because the portion of meaning, as Tosfos says, patishi fotzei tzela, is that the tzela now is going to be busted up with the patish, right? So then what you're not saying what you're trying to prove. Posik is mashma that you're going to break the tzela with the patish. And not that the gears that we have over here is that it's talking about, we're saying im evenu nimoach and im barzelhu mitpotzeitz, but the barzel is the hammer. And over here it's mashma that the hammer is going to remain whole, but the sella is going to be broken. So the gears is very funny. Tosfos, some have the opposite gears in fact. But Tosfos says that maybe this is a reference to the story in the Medrash about a type of very powerful snapirion, which is a very, very hard substance, that Barzel will shatter if it attempts to break that substance. So then we have many things like that, obviously, things that are much harder than metal. So that if you bang on it, you think, you know, you're the big guy, what's going to happen is the hammer's going to shatter, sparks are going to fly, and so on. So that's maybe what it's a reference to. What's that? Yeah, so in other words, all it does is heat it to the point where, you know, just it starts shooting sparks out of it. And as far as Imevenu Nimoach, Shremer Hoiko Tzameh L'chula Mai, and that Mayim is Teira, and then it says, Avanim Shachaku Mai, that stones are eaten away by water, just melted away, as in potholes.
La'asiyo Isha. So therefore, all these things, if we have Torah, they'll be translated back with captivity.
That's what we were saying earlier. Yeah. By the way, I wanted to. We went ahead and you asked, and I forgot to get back to you. From the Gemara before, we saw Hayohu Lilmod, Beno Lilmod, and he sent him to Abaya. Abaya was not teaching him Chumash. And over here, nobody is arguing. So then, well, if you only have a chiyuv to teach Mikra, so why was he? There's no. I did my chiyuv. I taught you Mikra. Go manage your own life. So you see clearly. Yeah. So what was? It's not my business. You know, I did what I had to do as a father. You're a big boy. Take care of yourself. What do you mean? I learn, you learn. I mean, I don't have a chiyuv for you to learn anymore. So you see that obviously there's two different chiyuv. The vahodatam means you have to see to it that he knows. What do you have to see to it that he knows? Mikra. But as far as seeing to it that he learns, vilimata. That's just endless, obviously. He's always going to have to be learning, right? So there the question is the efficacy of the learning and so on. But because he's better. And that's because there the issue is, where is the learning better served? Right? So now, the same thing. Here we're talking about, what do you have to pay money for? So if I have a theory that he should learn, so I don't know how, I don't know that much, doesn't matter. So learn with him, whatever you know, or sit down and learn together. But if you're mechuyev that he should know, then you have to, like any other mitzvah. Okay, how much is it going to cost me to see to it that he knows? I have to hire an expert that'll make sure that he knows. So that I have to pay. Right? No, because there I have the chiyuv of money, not only to do it on myself. That would be like for other talmidim. There, let's say, if I have a chiyuv to be malamed everybody, from vilimantem, the B'neichem is Eilu Talmideichem, but it doesn't say over there V'hodatem. So the V'hodatem, I don't have a chiyuv to pay for somebody else's learning. I only have a chiyuv to teach somebody else if I have the learning. That's tremendous nafkamina. Therefore the Rambam says, to teach your son, you're going to have to pay. But to teach Talmidim, it's only the chiyuv to give over what you know, because I'm not afraid to see to it that he knows. We didn't finish. Let's hurry up. No, you got to go, 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 go. That's for sure. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no. I'm sorry. I shouldn't take you so much time here. It's all Naftali's fault.
Yeah.
La siyo isha. I mean, how do we know that a father is supposed to marry off his son? Dichtiv, because we see that Yirmiyo, giving advice how to handle now the horrific situation, and people were ready to give up on life. So he said, no, kichu nashim, lo lidu banim uvanot, tekhul vnechem nashim, uvet minotechem tnula nashim, vateladna banim uvanot, revu. You're going to go to Bavel, you're going to be in Golas, don't think it's all over. Go there, get married, have children, see to it that your children get married, and that's the way you're going to survive. Okay, so that means that there's a chiyuv. So we make sure that you take livnechem nashim. Now, wait a minute. Bishlam ibn biyado. I mean, understand, to take a wife for your son, I mean, that's the norm, is that the father looks around, and just like a man looks around for a woman. But how are you supposed to take a husband for your wife? I mean, it's the man that's got to make that decision, the man that's got to go looking around. Say elabito biyadoi, what it's not in your hand to make sure that your daughter gets married. No, what Yirmiyo is telling them is see to it that your daughters are desirable. So make sure that she's got a good dowry, velavshia, dress her beautifully, menechasya, give her all of the other things that she needs, so that people will want to take your daughter. And then you're mechuyev lalamdo umanut minolam. How do we know that you're a mechuyev to teach a trade? Omar chiskiya di omar kro, re'ei chayim im isha asher ahavta. See to it that there is life with the woman that you love. What does that mean? So if the woman that you love is a reference to literally a woman, so then im isha mamash, so then kishem shechayav la'asiyo isha, kachayav lalamdo umanut, because chayim, by definition, means a trade. A way to live. You've got to have a way to make a living, as we say. So chayim is living. So see to it that there's living with the woman. So if I'm a chuyav to get him a woman, then I'm a chuyav to get him a living. If the meaning of a woman is Torah, eshes chayo, so it's also the same thing, the same way k'shem shchayv lamdo Torah, same way I have a chuyav to teach my son Torah, I'm a chuyav to teach him a living. V'yesh omrim afla shito b'nahar, others say teach him how to swim. My timer, because that's also a living. How's he supposed to live if he doesn't know how to swim? So that's chiyuti. Rabbi Yudai, Mekoshen, Melamdo, Umanut, Melamdo, Listut. Listut, Sakadaitach, Elkiilu, Melamdo, Listut. So what is he adding? I don't understand. He's not saying anything, but we need his commentary to say that if a guy doesn't know how to make a living, he's going to be a ganav. No, you're kidding. It's a tremendous nafkamina la locha. Ike benayo dagmari iska. How about if a father takes a son into the business? Is that considered to be a kiyum of the mitzvah or no? So the Tanakama helps, yes, because he's going to make a living. Rabbi Yehuda says, you teach him to do business, you're teaching him to be a ganav. Because the end is, you can't rely on this. Because, look, if a guy is a dentist, there's always going to be people who need dentists. But if a guy is in business, and the economy goes sour, then what's he supposed to do now? He's only got one thing left, ganav. So the mill is going to be left without chayim. The chayim has to be a chayim that is going to be there regardless of economic circumstances. Whereas business is tremendously dependent in things out of his control. So when things go bad, well, now what's he going to do now? Okay.